Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views with Chris Fitzsimon.
Welcome back to News and Views. There are many ways that climate change is affecting our lives, and one of them is rising sea levels along the coast. That has huge implications for North Carolina, and it's the subject of the latest WRAL-TV documentary. Producer Clay Johnson is here with a preview. Well, Clay, thanks for being back with us on News and Views. Good to see you.
Good to be here, Chris. Thank you.
Well, let's talk about the latest documentary about climate change and sea level rise. What prompted this?
I think that as continuing reports over the years about sea level rise, its potential impacts, not only on our coast, but up and down the eastern seaboard and all over the world. And I just thought, after hearing over and over how North Carolina, much of our coast, is so vulnerable, that it was time to just examine that. You know, there was the controversy a few years ago with the Coastal Resources Commission using projections to 2100 and their science panel report, and the legislature asked them to amend that, only look at projections out 30 years. That created a huge controversy. We actually talked about doing the documentary then, had other things going on, kind of put it on the shelf, and then just decided it was time to do it.
Not too many years ago, this would have been a documentary about science, and it is in a way, but it's become much more about politics, too, in our state.
You know, the climate change issue has been political for a long time. The sea level rise issue, not as much, although they're tied together. I think what has happened is, I think the climate change argument is dying down a little bit now that people have accepted the reality that it's happening. And the sea level rise is just a fact. As one of the scientists we interviewed said, it's not a theory, it's a measurement. It's very easy to see. It's very easy to document. The only debate left really is over the projections. How fast is it going to rise in the future? And how much could we be contributing to that with warming the oceans through burning of fossil fuels and things like that? So the debate is really over the projections of future acceleration, not over actual sea level rise.
You're going to hear some folks in the documentary in a moment. But what's fascinating, you mentioned it has such an effect on North Carolina. If you really, even the, it seems, the modest predictions, there's a lot of people, a lot of money, a lot of development, a lot of utilities. It's staggering what's actually at risk.
One of the things we look at in the documentary is, and you're correct, northeastern North Carolina, they call ground zero for sea level rise along the eastern seaboard. And a lot of people focus on the Barrier Islands because, as you say, that's where all the money is, a $1.2 billion annual tourism economy, billions of dollars worth of real estate. You know, if you look down toward the southern Outer Banks, you get overwash every time. Hurricane Jose in September was 300 miles offshore, caused overwash, caused Highway 12 to be closed. 300 miles offshore. And what sea level rise does, it exacerbates storm surge, it exacerbates flooding. And so it's not just, you know, oh, one day it's just going to inundate this. We're already seeing the effects of it now. What people forget about is mainland air in Hyde County, most of which is well below 3 feet above sea level. A lot of it is at sea level, 1 or 2 feet above sea level. And so that's much more vulnerable just inside the Barrier Islands. Don't have a lot of high dollar real estate there, but you do have a lot of very valuable farmland.
One of the people you talked to was Nag's Head. We'll start on the Barrier Islands. Town Manager Cliff Ogburn, tell us about him.
Well, we went and talked to Cliff because Nag's Head has been very proactive about looking ahead and trying to say, we know this is happening. What are we going to do about it? And in fact, there's only two communities in all of the 20 coastal counties in North Carolina that even mention sea level rise in their comprehensive planning, and that's Nag's Head and Wilmington. And so we wanted to see what they were doing, and it was pretty interesting. And so we talked to Cliff a little about that.
Yeah, let's hear now from Nag's Head Town Manager Cliff Ogburn.
Regardless of where you fall on the science and how much it's going to rise and how fast and how much, it seemed irresponsible for us to not plan ahead. You know, we can't relocate. We can't pick up the town and move anywhere else.
You mentioned earlier, Clay, that, and I don't think a lot of people think about the effect on farming, but there's a lot of farmland in eastern North Carolina that's vulnerable.
Yeah, in all 20 coastal counties. We focused on Hyde because they've already been dealing with this in a very big way. One of the most startling things that we saw, we went out and met Mike Burchell, who's an NC State professor who's helping farmers out in Hyde County try to deal with saltwater intrusion into their farmlands. And while we were out there with him, he took us out to this spot where this network of canals that they've dug out there, you know, decades and decades and decades ago, were designed to drain rainwater off the farmland and out into the estuaries and the Pamlico Sound. The downside now is they're helping bring saltwater in. So these farmers had got together and they plugged one of those ditches because there was so much salt water coming in. And we were out there and Mike was showing us where water was breaching that plug coming in over the top. And it was from that same storage surge from Hurricane Jose 300 miles off our coast. And that water was coming in 3 miles inland from the Alligator River. It was startling to see, actually.
Yeah, let's hear now NC State Professor Mike Burchill.
They're seeing more evidence that salt water is moving into these canal systems and influencing negatively their agricultural production. It's a constant battle against the water down here in Hyde County.
Clay, we've talked a little bit about farmland, a little bit about the towns on the barrier islands, but there are also a lot of pieces of land near and dear to environmentalists' heart, all of our hearts, the Wildlife Refuge. Tell us about the Alligator River National Wildlife Refuge.
Well, it's a 157,000-acre wildlife refuge that was established in the 80s along with the help of the Nature Conservancy, which helped acquire some of the land for the refuge. It's a great ecosystem. It's home to a lot of habitat. There's a lot of wetlands out there, and that's where a lot of life begins. But, of course, you know, there's lots of black bear, lots of bobcat, all kinds of waterfowl call that home. Well, it's already changing pretty dramatically. And when we talked to the refuge manager, Scott Lanier, he started working out there in the mid-80s and left and came back in 2006, and he was stunned. I mean, areas that were saltwater marsh were underwater. Places that were forested were now ghost forests of dead trees, and it was pretty startling. And so they've got an adaptation project going on now with the Nature Conservancy, and what they're trying to do is slow that process down to give wildlife habitat a chance to catch up.
Well, let's hear now from the Nature Conservancy's Brian Booten.
This road used to extend well beyond where that piling is out there in the water. Just a few years back, just 5 years ago. What we're seeing here is erosion rates anywhere in the range of 5 to 15 feet per year. In some places, we were getting as much as 45 feet a year.
Well, Clay, we've talked about a little bit of what's in the documentary about what's actually happening. And I guess there's no way to stop maybe reducing the effects of climate change slightly, but the sea level is going to rise. And so overall, what do people think that can be done about it other than the things you've talked about? I mean, this has big implications for a lot of city governments, of neighborhoods.
That's one of the big questions. Spencer Rogers, who's a coastal geologist with Sea Grant, who was on the science panel, the Coastal Resources Commission science panel, was actually in favor of the 30-year extension or 30-year projection because he feels like the science beyond that is just too uncertain and there's really no way communities can plan beyond that. So that is the, you know, the multi-million dollar question. I think what Rogers says is that as these higher storm surge happens, these nuisance flooding happens, that adaptation to sea level rise is already occurring. It's just they're not calling it sea level rise adaptation. So they're reacting, communities already, to these events by having codes that require homes to be built higher, what they call extra freeboard. That's a big thing, building roadbeds higher. But nobody really knows how far that's going to go or how far it really needs to go because we don't really know how much sea level rise is going to accelerate. The most accepted projection right now is it's going to be 3 feet roughly by the end of this century, by 2100, which would put most of the outer, good chunks of the Outer Banks underwater, probably mainland Dare, mainland Hyde underwater, and a lot of other counties. As Stan Riggs, another coastal geologist we interviewed, said, you know, you get a 2 foot rise in sea level, we're going to lose the better part of 5 or 6 counties out there.
And just one aside before we talk about how folks can see this, you mentioned Highway 12. That sort of is an interesting symbol of this. The I don't even know what the word is I'm looking for, but the
line in the sand.
Line in the sand, or the folly of sort of trying to fight Mother Nature. I mean, as you mentioned, even a strong nor'easter, and that's underwater.
Yeah, it is a great symbol, and I want to refer back to a documentary we did in 2006 about that issue. It was called Line in the Sand. And it looked at how the islands were narrowing and how Highway 12 has become a symbol of that. We were talking then about, you know, how much of the Outer Banks would be lost with just a slight rise in sea level. And, you know, Highway 12 is definitely a very visual symbol of what is happening.
Where can folks see this?
This will be broadcast premiering on WREL next Tuesday, the 24th of October at 7 p.m. It'll be streamed live at the same time on WRELDocumentary.com. And also on Fire TV, Apple TV, and Roku. It's going to be on WILM in Wilmington the following night at 6:30 and on Fox. And you can check on the Fox listings to find out when it's going to be on Fox. I think it's the following weekend.
Well, thank you as always. Thanks for doing this important work, and thanks for being with us.
Thanks, Chris.
That's it for another edition of News and Views. Look for us on the web at ncpolicywatch.com. For producer Clayton Hinkle, this is Chris Fitzsimon. Thanks for joining us, and we'll talk to you next week.
You've been listening to News and Views with Chris Fitzsimon, Director of North Carolina Policy Watch. Visit them online at ncpolicywatch.com. News and Views, a weekly look at state and policy issues, is a production of the North Carolina Justice Center.